Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Steve Frampton. You're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, our guest Donna Fitzgerald will be joining us to discuss her incredible experiences of mediumship and also physical mediumship, which is really fascinating. But before we get started, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Maureen. How are you today?
Hilarious. Thank you for asking. I'm doing okay. Thank you. I'm good. Looking forward to your show.
Yes, it will be good.
Yeah. And I'm a psychic at psychicaccess.com. I thought I would just jump right in there, Steve.
Go ahead. Go for
it. I know
the routine.
Was coming. I knew it was. I was waiting for it. Yeah. And I'm an intuitive. I'm psychic empath. I utilize tarot as my main tool because I must, because that's the way it is. And I do look at them. I view them as the tarot cards as being a symbolic record of human experience. Very clear about that. And I enjoy doing my work, and I'm thankful that I'm on the show with you all. Thanks.
We're thankful to have you with us, Maureen, as always. Thank you for being here.
Sure.
And Stephen, how are you today?
Doing very well, thank you. Looking forward to your show tonight.
Great. Well, thank you. Would you like to tell our listeners about your work?
Absolutely, absolutely. I am a tarot reader and an astrologer, and I specialize in relationship issues, career issues, and generally just troubleshooting any problem using the ancient intelligence of the tarot and the incisive, penetrating power of astrology. One area that I would love to develop more is the area that you're going to examine tonight, the area of mediumship. So I got my pen and paper handy to take notes.
Great. Good stuff. Well, good to have you with us, Stephen.
Thank you.
And Carmen, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. Hi, Steve. How are you tonight?
Very well, thank you, Carmen. Looking forward to this show.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you are also, I'm not a medium, so I'm going to be finding a lot of benefit from this show. You know, but as you know, I'm an empath, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And Carmen, go ahead and tell our listeners about your work.
So thanks. I'm an empath telepath. So basically I've been working in this field for almost 15 years now. And what I do to get investigative details, like a lot of detail on current situations, are the tarot. I have my own system for working with it, and it's fairly organic. My specialty is to be able to define intent.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Carmen, and glad to have you with us this evening. It will be a very interesting show.
Great. I look forward to learning a lot about this subject.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell everybody a little bit about our guest before she joins us. Reverend Donna Fitzgerald is a gifted and respected channel, psychic, medium, teacher, and spiritual healer. She's been a lifelong student of metaphysics and is a very clear channel for those in the spirit world. I've seen her working a couple of times and was very impressed with her wonderful connection to the spirit world. And gifts of various forms of mediumship have manifested in her life. And as a child, she had very early recollections of spirit. And during her earlier years, she was guided and encouraged by her mother, Doris, who was a very gifted clairvoyant as well. And after years of study, Donna became committed to her spiritual work and knew that she needed to use her abilities, and that knowledge gained is not really so meaningful if it's not shared with other people and used to help them renew and heal. Now, if you would like to see Donna's website and learn more about her work, which I'm sure you will, her website address is misstulipandme.com. That's M-S, then the word tulip, and me.com. So do check that out. Well, Donna, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
It's great to hear your voice again, Donna. I've missed you, but it's wonderful to have you with us here.
Well, the same here. It's nice to hear you. We had a wonderful weekend. We need to reproduce it.
We do. And I'd love to share a couple of my experiences and tales from that weekend that we spent together with friends some time ago. But Donna, I want to ask you, first of all, if you could share with our listeners when you first became aware of your connection to spirit.
Well, I have always, it's always been there. It was such a natural part of life for me. I don't remember not seeing and hearing spirit. I just thought that everybody saw that. From when I was a very small girl, that the first time I really, at about 4 or 5 years old, my grandfather, who had died at 40, fully materialized for me. And I just thought that was normal. I mean, I thought he was a person because I could sit on his lap and hug him. So it's been my whole life. And I was fortunate in that my mother didn't make this an unusual thing. She made it very normal for me, so I never questioned it. So it's always been there.
It's funny, Donna, that you mentioned your grandfather, because that's how I first became aware of my ability. I saw my grandfather fully materialize in my home.
Yeah, as a child, I lived with my grandmother, and in those days, I was afraid of the dark because a lot of things went bang in the night. And I would hear when my uncles would come home, my grandmother's breathing would change. As a mother, I understand that now. And I would hear other steps, and I would wake up my grandmother and say, "Grammy, there's someone in the house." And she'd say, "Oh, go to sleep. It's your grandfather. He's just checking it on you." Well, I didn't have a father. My grandfather died long before I was born. So I finally decided I was going to check this out. And I would sneak out of that bed, and those beds seemed like they were 10 feet high, and managed to open those old-fashioned doors with the glass handles.
Yes.
I would manage to get to that and open that door, and I'd go down the hallway, and I would sit. It was one of those old multiple-story houses. I'd sit on the landing, and sure enough, I'd hear those heavy footsteps coming up the stairs, and there would be my grandfather, and he would sit down next to me, and he hugged me and talked to me. And when the time was up, he would tell me I had to go back to bed with my grandmother, and he'd start down the stairs, and he just disappeared.
Wonderful. What a great story. It's wonderful. Can you share with us as well, Donna? I know that you're also a minister, but I wondered if you could help people to understand what happens when we pass away from this physical world, and how we are able to connect with our loved ones in spirit.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have these physical bodies for such a short time, and that body dies away, but the spirit does not. If you think about it, our brain is a physical organ, but it takes a spiritual aspect, the mind isn't physical, to make the whole body run. So when the physical body goes away, all of that aspect of the person in that lifetime, that moves into the spirit world as an aspect of the entire soul. So when people pass away, and I have so many people that come to me with such grief that they want to know that their loved one's all right, or especially men when they weren't there when their mother died or their father died. And so where I'm able to make contact, I can't guarantee it, but if that spirit's willing, I'm willing. And so they're able to get information, and I always ask for evidentiary information. And that brings them such peace and such solace that they can then move forward in their own life and be at peace. I know for myself, I've never been afraid to die because I knew there was more. But that's not most of the population. And when they find that out, Steve, the looks on their faces and the joy in their hearts is just absolutely unbelievable.
It is incredibly healing, you know, to Okay. To prove to somebody that their loved one is okay, continues to exist and evolve on the spiritual plane above.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's just the impact and the results on those people is just, it's just such an amazing thing, and it's like you see a weight just lifted off of them. And, you know, now, if they talked about it to someone else, they might say that, you know, that, oh, those people are crackpots. But when they experience it, they know it's their loved one, it's a different story.
Yes. Yeah, it's always good to work with a skeptic and see them walking away, scratching their head, yeah, having woken up to something so important. Well, I want to ask you, Donna, I have followed a number of mediums from childhood. There are a couple that I was very, very fond of, Doris Stokes and Coral Polds, Gordon Higginson, some mediums in the UK. Can you tell us a little bit about your first experience of seeing another medium work and receiving evidence yourself?
My first experience was with my own mother. When I was pregnant with my first child, my mother, she said, don't move, and she ran, she got a piece of paper and an envelope, wrote something on it, sealed it, and said, we can't open this until the baby's born. And on that piece of paper was my daughter's birth date and the exact time of her birth.
Wonderful.
So that was the first time I'd really seen someone else do it. And, of course, I've seen everything else like people would see on TV, and I've always been a student of the occult, so to speak, so I've done a lot of reading. But up at Camp Chesterfield, I came in touch, and that's in Indiana, I came in touch with some extremely fine mediums, physical mediums. It was just, I had an incredible experience, and I was very fortunate to have them as my teachers.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned the physical mediumship, Donna, because that's a great passion of mine, and I have had some very interesting experiences, very wonderful evidence from spirit. And you know, you were in the room when my guide Arthur spoke directly to me through the medium at the time. And I've got that recorded. It's just incredible because nobody knew that my guide's name was Arthur. And he also said things to me that nobody could have known. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about physical mediumship as compared to mental or telepathic mediumship?
Well, there's a great difference because with the physical mediumship, I'm going to speak specifically of trance here, that trance is a different ballgame altogether because I just have to step away. Although there are many levels of trance, I'm just gone. I mean, I go and visit the libraries in the etheric, the library at Alexandria, and I'm totally unaware as to what is going on. Yet, when I come back, I'll know roughly how many spirits came and went, whether they were male or female, especially if they were the protector type, because that energy is so different, or if I had some very high-level spiritual teachers. Because it does leave an impact on the body. It's not painful, but you know, you can feel that difference, absolutely. So it's an integration of the mental, the spiritual, and the physical, whereas with mental mediumship, I'm not going to say there's not a physical aspect, because there is, but the mind-to-mind aspect is quite different. They don't need to take over your body. In fact, when I do trumpet, I happen to be a trumpet medium, that takes a huge amount of energy out of my body to be able to produce that phenomenon, and I'll have four or five trumpets up. So it takes a huge amount of energy. So I think you talk to any physical medium, and when they're done, they're always starving.
Yes, I've heard, and having a banana afterwards is the thing to do, apparently.
I want a big dinner.
A big dinner, yes. Well, it is. We're consuming a huge amount of energy when we raise our frequency to connect with spirit. So it adds up. It makes sense, doesn't it, that we would be hungry afterwards?
Oh, yes. It's just you have to, you know, you can only take so much out of the well. And sometimes when spirit will do things differently, one time they pulled the ectoplasm out of my mouth, and I almost came back from the from the spirit world because I felt like I was choking, yet the people that were in the circle said they there was no choking, the spirit spoke fine. So each different aspect has a different impact on the body and also the medium senses. Even though you're unaware, you never lose total contact with the body. It's just like you're in such a happy place, it doesn't matter.
It is interesting. I remember when I first did trance mediumship, I think I was about 14, and it was just fascinating because allowing spirit to actually come so close that they use the physical body, I felt as though I was stepping out of myself and standing to my left, but I could still feel certain sensations in the physical body, Donna. It's as though my hands were changing and my face felt different, and then I felt somebody wanting to speak. It was most fascinating.
It's that time when you're coming back. I happen to be one, I like to meditate in the water, so my bathtub is a very happy place. And even I've been doing this for a very long time, yet sometimes the spirit hasn't quite finished talking when my consciousness is coming back. And it's always so strange when I'm all alone in that tub, yet I hear a male voice speaking, and my consciousness is there. It's still a bit startling.
It's wonderful. I want to ask you, Donna, if you could tell us a little bit about the phenomenon of apports.
Yes. Well, apports, that's a process where spirit takes something from a distant place, dematerializes it, and then rematerializes it using that medium's energy into the space where that medium is. So I have seen arrowheads and cards and I have lost very expensive pieces of jewelry, and in broad daylight, they'll materialize in the middle of the room and fall on a table, and I'll see it rematerialize. Sometimes you'll see stones. When I first started getting apports, they would, because when you're in that dream state, you're so relaxed, most people who are going to develop apport mediumship find that they'll find little stones and crystals in their bed. And because they're so relaxed, because it's really a matter, if you have the right chemicals, it's a matter of allowing. You can't force it, you just have to allow it, and when there's enough energy, it will happen.
I'd love some diamonds to appear in my bed, Donna.
I'd ask for rubies, diamonds, and emeralds.
Well, you know, you were there when I received my guide Arthur was speaking and said that a gift would be shared, and then a beautiful stone materialized just in thin air and dropped into my left hand. It's incredible. I took photographs of it and put them online, but I'm having that made into a piece of jewelry. I'm having it wrapped in copper so that I can wear it around my neck as a chain or necklace.
You know, I see people get apports, and they just don't treat them with enough reverence. That's a lovely gift for spirit to give to us. And I see people throw them in a corner or just disrespect them. And I think, well, they just don't understand. Because, that takes a lot of energy to do that.
Now, do the apports always come from somewhere else on the physical plane, Donna? I guess they have to, don't they? Because there isn't anything physical on the plane above.
Well, I've never seen anything that didn't come from the physical plane. However, there may be other planes that are on the physical. We're just not aware of them, so it may not be in the spiritual plane. So if there's planet XYZ out there, I don't see why they couldn't bring it here.
Oh, I see. Yes, of course. So it can be from the physical plane, but not necessarily from our immediate environment.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way. How interesting.
Yes. I would love one of those.
Yes, let's get a spaceship, Donna. We could travel for free.
I had one that I had gone up to Chesterfield and nobody knew I was coming. And I sat in an apport seance with Reverend Louise Irvin. And when and she does these mass app works where there's a sheet, and the sheet's just covered with them. And she picked up one, and she said, "She's not here." And she called up my name, and I said, "Reverend Louise, I'm here." It was a little shell covered in gold. And she said, "It's kind of an odd one, but here." The day after I got back from Chesterfield, I got on a plane and went to Aruba to visit some clients. And when I got into the airport, there was a stand with all those little shells like that. So I knew where that airport came from.
Oh, how fascinating. So it was moved from Aruba to the seance room.
Right. And they had nobody knew I was going to Aruba. So it was very interesting.
Very interesting, yeah. Wonderful confirmation. I've got to the stage where I just don't question anymore. I always just, you know, even as a young medium, I always had a sort of skepticism, Donna. I was always wanting more confirmation, more evidence from spirit, and got to the stage where I just didn't need any more.
You know, I have a rule that I go by. I have two feelings, and if it's not the good one, I'm out of there, or I don't buy it, you know? So if my feeling about whatever I've experienced is good, I accept it. So I guess that's my spirit doll.
Well, which of the gifts that you've received from spirits, of the apports, which is your favorite?
One of my favorites is a very simple gray stone that one of my guides sent to me. And we look at it, it's very plain. And the message he gave to me with it was, "The stone reminds me of you. It's just plain, but when you look at it, you see the depth is there." And I think that's one of my very favorite, because that describes me. I look like somebody's aunt or next-door neighbor, but there is a depth there. And having spirit recognize that for me, that made that apport one of my very favorites.
Well, I want to ask you, Donna, about the spirit box. Could you tell our listeners about the spirit box phenomena?
Now, we're talking about the spirit cards, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, spirit cards are, it's a type, it's called precipitation. And spirit doesn't actually write or draw on them, but you give spirit the elements. You give them a slate or an index card or a piece of paper, something that they can produce something on. Then you give them the elements like ink or chalk or crayons or pencils. I even put glue and glitter and everything in my box. And then this does not have to be done in the total darkness, but needs to be in low light, because you cover that basket, so it's almost like being in a darkened room. And spirit uses those energies to create images or notes or anything, and messages. They're messages from spirit, only it's not done. It's the medium's energy, but no human hands touch it. It's all spirit energy. And my seance room is covered with them. Some of them are mine. A lot of them are from others. And right now I'm working on trying to get them, because I've always in trance done painted feathers. And now I'm working with those feathers in my basket to see if I can't get spirit to make those painted feathers for me. So I'm getting this, that material's material, so they just use the energies. I've seen spirit take color out of a carpet. I've seen them take the color out of somebody's clothes, take a petal off of a flower, and the rest of the flower is red, but that one petal's white because they've used that essence of the red to create what they needed to on those cards. And some of them look like they're paintings. I mean, some of them are like works of art. Just an amazing, amazing gift. My gift isn't to that level, but though there are, am I allowed to mention other mediums?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, Hoyt Robinette and Mike Perry have those two men have such an incredible, incredible gift that They're miniature works of art. Some of them look like there are photographs taken. I was just up at Roanoke at UMC, and a woman who was there, her daughter died from an illness several years ago, but as a youngster, I mean, she was only like maybe 11 or 12 years old, and she got a card from Mike, and it looked like a photograph of her daughter. It was amazing. Amazing.
Wonderful. He is an incredible man.
Yes, he is.
He is great. Really, really wonderful.
Both of them.
I'll have to ask him to join us on the radio show sometime.
Oh, yes.
It would be good to interview Absolutely. Him as well. Do you feel that mediumship takes a toll upon a person or the physical body, Donna?
Yes, it does. And, you know, I was always warned about being careful because in the old days, a lot of the mediums, they smoke a lot, they drank, they didn't take good care of themselves, and they also died fairly young. But I was warned early enough, and so I've always watched things like the spleen and the pancreas and always did things to support the chakra system because I realized where those energies are being pulled from. And in spite of that, I had to have a surgery last year that I believe was just from overworking myself spiritually.
And so yes, what advice can you give to other mediums or people doing energy work, even if it's healing or psychic work? What advice can you give them, Donna, to help them to reinforce themselves so that they don't use up too much energy?
Healers need to remember to always clear themselves. And mediums sometimes forget that they need to clear themselves. And when you have gifts like these and someone asks for help, it's really hard to say no. And a medium needs to understand, no matter what gift they're working with, mental, physical, whatever, healing, whatever it is, that they need that rest time. They need to give their bodies that chance to regenerate itself. And they don't. And if they would do that, I think they could work longer. Because there are things, I don't know a medium who hasn't had some kind of physical repercussion over the years. And also those same mediums that I know, I also know that they didn't know how to say no, and they would work. And feeling that to say no was just representing the work that we do incorrectly, and it's not. Because if you don't take care of yourself, then they're... You can't help people as long. That's a very difficult part of this business.
Yes, maintaining balance and staying in the real world as well. Staying in the physical world. You know, we live here in the physical world with physical bodies, and we have to take care of them.
I think people don't understand that. When we're dealing in that spiritual realm, even if it's mental mediumship, we're on a different time. We're used to living through time the way it is on our physical plane, and it doesn't operate the same on the spiritual planes. And when you're half in one and half in the other, the body, the physical body, is caught in the middle. And so if you don't give it enough time to regenerate itself, something's going to give.
I know that people often feel that physical mediumship is very rare, or it's always been rare. So I should say, Donna, that people feel that physical mediumship was something that really occurred in the 1800s, and that it happens less so nowadays. Do you feel that that's the case? Is there much physical mediumship going on out there?
For a while there wasn't, but I'm seeing more and more young people today that are showing evidence of physical mediumship, so I don't think it's gone. I think back in the 1800s, early 1900s, the heyday of spiritualism, theosophy and all of them, that because of the consciousness level of the global planet, that people needed a different type of an understanding. Now, everybody understands. It's hard to talk to someone who doesn't understand about the spiritual self or spiritual life or spiritual something. So we've overcome that. We have raised our level of consciousness to such a level that now I believe that those gifts are going to become stronger, but they're going to be used in a different way. How they're going to be used, I'm not sure. But I'm seeing too much evidence of it in young people. So I think we just don't know how that's going to manifest. I think it'll be the same gift. Its application will be different.
And do you feel that there are enough teachers available out there to guide these young people?
Teachers and ethical teachers are two different things.
Yes, yeah.
So, and I think it's so hard for the people that are new into finding out what all this is about. They don't know how to tell the difference. So it makes it hard for everyone else. But since this is becoming so mainstream, I think we'll see more. And especially when, you know, one time I used to worry all the time, what if something happens and water supplies are damaged? And this really bothered me. And it, for years I would ask Spirit, what do you do? What do you do? And about 5 years ago, they said, you've had the answer all along. And I still didn't get it. And then they finally said, Donna, you concentrate your energies just as you do on the trumpet or on the basket or for the apports, whatever it is, and we will help transmute, use those mediumistic energies to transmute the energy in that water to purify it. So this may be a way. This may also be able to be used in healing. So the sky's the limit with, now that it's not such a new concept for everyone, the strongest instrument there is the human being. And we're just learning how we can use these energies. So I don't think it's going backwards. I think it's just finding a new application. I'm very excited about it.
Yes, it's exciting to think about all of the future possibilities.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful. Well, Donna, it's great to have you with us. We're going to take a short commercial break, just a minute, and then we will come back and continue the conversation.
All right.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Well, welcome back, Donna. I'm excited to continue this conversation with you. Donna, if you don't want to discuss this, it's fair enough, but I know of people that have had problematic spiritual experiences. I get inquiries from time to time about poltergeists and some of the more troubling spiritual phenomena. So we as mediums, we enjoy these experiences in which we're able to give evidence of the afterlife, and we're able to help people with their spiritual development. But it's not always rosy. So there are more challenging experiences. Could you tell us your view on that?
Well, I tell you, probably a third of my client base is people who have had difficult spiritual experiences. I mean, across the board, from poltergeists to just scratches and all kinds of things. So just because someone moves into the spirit realm doesn't make them instantly wonderful people. And they're in the lower spiritual realms, and unfortunately, people who don't understand how to protect themselves, it makes it very easy for these lower energies to come in and take over and do some very negative things. And sometimes they don't know where to go or how to get help, and hence all these shows you see on television which I think are wonderful because people at least are learning there was something that can be done. And then there's aspects of what people say, well, what about these non-human energies? Well, I'd be lying if I said those energies weren't out there. And so people haven't always had pleasant experiences. When you talk to someone that I've had clients come to my home that had woken up in the morning and they were covered head to toe with scratches and bruises. And they could remember not being able to breathe. And, that's not something I can fix in one session, but we work through it. I've been very fortunate that I've been able to work through this with people and get them to a point of understanding and teach them how to protect themselves. And again, this is a place where sometimes there's a natural medium and they don't even know that they're that open. But it's a fact of life. It's there. Absolutely.
And so which techniques do you teach people, or which practices or rituals, techniques, tools do you suggest to people, Donna?
Well, it kind of depends on the individual that I'm dealing with, but if I can get them to understand about spirit guidance, I try to open them to the presence of at least one of their guides and let them start to develop a dialogue with that guide, which can provide incredible protection and can help them fill those gaps that they don't necessarily know how to do. But as you know, it takes that dialogue with spirit to do that. And sometimes I think when they realize they're not alone and that they do have help, it makes that process easier for them to accept. Doesn't necessarily make it easier to fix, but it makes it easier for them to accept it, and I think makes the outcome more positive. Absolutely. So that's usually where I start. And I warn them about what it means to be open or to be too open and about foolish things that can be done, and that we all really need to guard our thoughts. Thoughts are things. Nothing is that wasn't once a thought. So we need to guard our thoughts because that's an energy, and the wrong kind of spirit can come right in on that energy. And so,
yes, in my experience, Donna, the more negative spirits or entities, they don't go after joyful, optimistic people. They go after people who are having a hard time, who are experiencing some weakness or some issues. Do you find that's the case as well?
Oh, absolutely, and that's the law of attraction at work there as well. So spirit always, whether good, bad, or indifferent, spirit always chooses the lowest common denominator. And so that's true for the good positive spirits, and that's also very true for those negative entities.
So really, being happy and taking care of ourselves, enjoying life, These are good ways to protect ourselves spiritually and energetically.
Absolutely. You know, being positive is a choice. And a lot of people argue with me on that. But when I tell them that being positive is also protection, it kind of changes things around a little bit. But it doesn't take much to be positive. It's actually harder to be negative. It takes more energy. So you can stay positive a lot longer than you can with the negativity and without it draining on you. So absolutely, I agree 100%.
So, Donna, how do you take care of yourself? You mentioned relaxing in the bath. You mentioned meditation. What else do you do to look after yourself?
Well, of course, I'm always talking to spirit, and so I really try to balance it so I'm not spending too much time in spirit. But with my dialogues, my intention is to live a positive, energetic life. And that's an intent. And intent is everything. And we set intent every day when we get up. So my intent is always to be positive and protected. That's my first thought. And I check myself every now and then. And I'll do things like check my chakras or see how I've been feeling. If I've had a headache or something, that's a key to me right away. I've let down my guard someplace. I do a lot of creative visualizations because it's fun. And it's just such a natural part of my flow. I've got a little thing that I call my zipper exercise, and I teach all my students this. And when I feel that I'm too open, and I've done this in big corporate meetings, I visualize this zipper, but it's upside down. You know, zippers usually zip up. Mine zips down. And my zipper looks like that beautiful opalescent material like you see when they wrap wedding gifts and that kind of thing. And when I feel that I'm too open, I just visualize myself closing that zipper. I'm setting my intent, and that visualization takes a second. But just the minute I see that, I'm closing myself down so that I'm not so open. And it works for me all the time. And I teach every one of my students that they call it Miss Tulip's zipper.
That's a good one. I've heard of people surrounding themselves with white light and a sphere of white light, etc.
I've done white lights and cocoons and all kinds of things. But I'm such a visual person, that one works for me. And it's so quick. And I've done it sitting in a board meeting. Because you don't have to do anything. I just, in my mind's eye, visualize it. And I've been in meetings where people, you'd swear somebody was going to be dead by the time that meeting was over. They were also angry with each other. And I've used that to change the energy in a meeting and to shut myself down so we can get something done. So they're practical. I'm a very practical person. There are very practical aspects to all levels of mediumship. To me, these are tools for living, and they should be used for that.
How do you feel, Donna, that we can influence world events? So we see so much tragedy, so many problems still in the world. What do you feel? Do you feel that the state of the world population, the environments, etc., is a reflection of our consciousness or not?
It is. We have a global consciousness and there is tribal consciousness. And some of the issues are with tribal consciousness. And in the Middle East and the Near East, that tribal consciousness has been in conflict for many thousands of years. So it's never been totally resolved. And I learned a long time ago that everything has a cycle. And part of the cycle is that degenerative piece. And sometimes when a level of consciousness is degenerating, it has to degenerate before it can re-manifest as something very positive, such as a tree bloom that has fruit. The fruit falls to the ground, it rots, the seeds come out, and then there's another tree. So we can't necessarily change that cycle, but a lot of people focusing on the same positive energies can provide an environment that is conducive to positive change. That's where I think we can be beneficial. That's why group prayer works so well, and that's accepted all over the world. Well, this can be done, and not everybody has to be in the same place. This can be done any time. My groups, and I know many other groups, do the same thing. We'll just focus on those positive energies to create the right atmosphere so that there can be good, positive change. Because it's all about creation, and we want positive creation. And it's amazing. The power of one is amazing because one plus one plus one plus one can do absolutely incredible things. We just need to do it. It takes a bit of dedication by people. And it's so simple. So simple. All it takes is a good heart.
There was a wonderful experiment about or with crime levels in Washington a number of years ago, where a number of very experienced meditation practitioners got together and meditated upon peace in Washington, and the crime levels dropped dramatically. And when they stopped the experiment, they shot back up.
Yes. Well, that's why there are so many spiritual places around the world that have they'll have these prayer centers where people are in prayer or meditation 24 hours a day. And they'll go in shifts, and that's what it does. It's done to support a specific type of activity or a specific energy. So even small groups that do it, and it's just not a very complicated thing. And it doesn't take a long time, but it takes regularity. spirit doesn't know time, but they certainly know cycles. And so if you, this is something that everybody, if 500 people spent 15 minutes the same time every week, can you imagine what we could accomplish anywhere? And 500 is not a difficult number to get together.
Do you feel that spirit always hear us, Donna?
Pardon?
Do you feel that spirit always hear us?
I believe they hear us. However, we can't command another intelligence. We do pretty good trying to hold on to our own. We can ask for the presence of a spirit. And if that spirit is available, because they're not restricted by the physical body as we are, that they, in quotation marks, hear us. But it may not be appropriate for them to do something. So, yes, are they capable of hearing us? Yes. Are their energies tied up with something else? Possibly. Because that opens up the issue of aspects of individuals. Ms. Tulip herself does this thing where she splits herself. I could have 25 people in a circle, and she splits herself and appears to every one of those people in the circle, and they all feel her.
Well, tell us about Ms. Tulip, actually, Donna. I didn't ask you that question.
Oh, well, Ms. Tulip is my beloved little joy guide. She's her own unique personality. You've met her. And I work very closely with her because that joy guide, doorkeeper, gatekeeper, they have many names. That is the energy that is the closest, the lowest vibration, is easiest for us to pick up. That's why that is frequently the first guidance that people are able to recognize, because it's closer to our vibe. As you move up the ladder, that energy becomes more and more refined, and it's more difficult to pick up. It's very subtle. And so, Ms. Tulip, I've made all my agreements with her. I trust my life to her. When I do a circle, I trust my life to her. And she helps me with all kinds of things. We don't always agree, but there's always lively dialogue.
So tell us about an occasion on which you've disagreed with her. Because we do have free will, Donna, don't we? We're not living at the behest of spirit. We can disagree. We can have our own opinions and take our own direction.
Absolutely. Well, one of the first things is everybody assumes that when they have a guide and if they're going to do public presentation of this work, that all the guides know exactly what to do. Well, that's not true. My little Miss Tulip had never done this before, not as a joy guide. And we had a lot of work to put together, and I did not like the way she was presenting information. And this was early on before I was going into such deep trance. And so we had to work that out. And because it's still my body, it's still, when people look, they're still going to see me. I want that spirit to be themselves, but I have my own house rules. And so that only happens through dialogue. And you really have to know yourself. And if you don't, then in the beginning, sometimes people are so excited just to be able to bring anything through that they're a little bit careless. Well, I would hate to see the most wonderful message in the world for someone be discounted because of the way it was presented. That's one of the things, and as a teacher, as teaching budding mediums, I really work hard on how they present themselves. I make them stand in front of mirrors. I make them record themselves, all kinds of things, because they need to understand and they need to make that decision about what that persona is. That's the only way you can really figure out what you don't want. And that's where those discussions really come in. For example, Miss Tulip can get up and walk around and play instruments and do whatever. I won't let her do it because that frightens people. And that's one thing that she and I disagree on very vehemently. But I say, no, if that's going to frighten people, who cares if you can pick up something and walk around with it? I want the people to get what they need. I do this for the healing aspect. I don't want them frightened. So that's just an example of the kind of disagreement you could have.
Okay. Donna, have you heard a medium speaking in a language that they don't speak? or spirit using a medium in trance, and a spirit speaking in a different language.
Yes, absolutely. And because I have a block on that. Sometimes with myself, they'll come in and speak another language, but I want it to be real. I don't ever want there to be a question. So even though I'm out there, somehow I know while I'm in this other place, and I'm sure I'm not the only medium this happens with, I hear a language that I don't know, and I'm back in a flash. I did a circle one night, and I spoke to some young man for 10 minutes in French. I don't speak French. And all of a sudden, I felt it, and I was back instantly. And I felt so bad afterwards because the man was this man was on the French national ski team, and a friend of his had been killed in an avalanche, and he was so excited to talk to him. And yet my mental block brought it back. So if the medium doesn't get in the way, there's no reason. There's no reason not to. Do they need to speak in another language? No. Usually they'll do that because that is what that individual they're addressing needs.
It is great evidence for the person that is interacting with spirits to know that the spirit is using their language and that the trance medium doesn't speak that language.
Yes, I would agree.
It is wonderful evidence. Well, I was delighted by my experience at Roanoke. Could you tell us a little bit about USC, Donna, so that our listeners can look up USC if they would like to?
Yes, well, we're United Metaphysical Churches. Actually, this coming year, we just had our 49th anniversary. Our 50th anniversary is next year. And it was a group that started off in spiritualist roots, but they grew beyond it, and they wanted something different. So they formed their own group called United Metaphysical Churches. They've had a couple of name changes in there, but that's how they're known today. And we have 14 churches and 5 study groups, and we have worship services. We display all of the gifts of spirit that we talk about, but we also provide a place of worship and healing for people. We have a wonderful seminary program, so we train budding mediums, people who want to be ministers and healers, to help them get the correct information, and educated teachers. Teachers that can, especially in mediumship and healing, teachers that understand and do the practice so that they can help people develop. And it's a wonderful organization. I was ordained through Camp Chesterfield. I sanctioned on with United Metaphysical Churches. And as you know, I'm very active in their seminary program, and I'm on the national board. But it's a wonderful organization, and it's if anyone's out there and they're looking for a place to study, their website is United Meta. That's UnitedMeta.com. There's all kinds of information about us out there, about our churches, about our philosophy, our theology, and information about our education programs. I think we have the best metaphysical training program in the United States, and we've far exceeded several that were much older than we are. And our seminaries are packed to full, and we're looking at ways to expand so that we can have more people and even to be able to offer seminary classes in different cities now. So if you're listening and you're looking for a place, please check us out. That's UnitedMeta.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, Donna. Well, it's been just incredible to have you with us, Donna. I can't thank you enough, and I want to thank you as well for the wonderful work that you do for Spirit. And now, if our listeners want to contact you, how can they do that?
Well, they can contact me through my website, or they can just drop me a note at mstulip@mindspring.com.
Wonderful. Well, Donna, it's been a wonderful experience having you here with us. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that you will come back and share your experiences and knowledge of spirits another time.
I would love to, and I want to thank you for this opportunity. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Donna. Really grateful. It's been a wonderful experience to have you with us.
Well, we'll talk soon.
Yes, take care, Donna. Thank you so much. Well, that was a wonderful interview. I really enjoyed that. I think we covered a lot of territory as well in our interview with Donna. Just to remind you again, if you do want to read more about Donna's work, then you can visit her website, which is mstulipandme.com. And also remember that each of our guests has a profile at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. So you can look at information relating to all of our guests there, as well as our shows. Now, I'd like to take a few moments to make some announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later in the show, so make sure you've got your pen and paper ready. And if you were unable to catch our show last week, you'll find a recorded archive link, as well as archives to all of our previous shows at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. That's psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And just select the Archives tab, and do feel free to circulate those archive links and our future show details to your friends and family. We'd like to connect with as many people as possible, so please go ahead and share those links. And if you'd like to learn more about spirituality and psychic work, you can visit our website, psychicbloggers.com. We have a huge amount of information on there. It's a real library of knowledge about matters metaphysical, from reincarnation to psychic development. So do check that out, psychicbloggers.com. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our readers are verified, they're accuracy tested, and each offering their unique gifts. They also have profiles with a lot of details so that you can read about them and see who you feel is best able to help you with your question or your challenge, whatever it is you want to address. We'd be delighted to help you, and all of our psychics are very gifted and authentic. It's an honor to work with Psychic Access because of the very high standards and expectations of the psychics. And I want to thank Doug, who does a wonderful job behind the scenes, keeping everything running smoothly. All of the co-hosts on the show, Psychic Access Talk Radio, are available at Psychic Access. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, just visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have your own website and you'd like to earn some money, you can sign up for the Psychic Access affiliate program, earning 50 cents a minute on every reading referred from your site to psychicaccess.com. And if you'd like more information about that, just visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And again, if you like our show, please visit our friends, join us in the chat room, and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so just join us. We love having you with us. Now we're going to move into that part of the show where we have our conversation and interaction between the co-hosts. But before we do, I'd like to give you the call-in number for later in the show. It's 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. And if you do call in, you'll be placed on hold. You'll be able to listen to the show, but we will take the calls in order, and we'll be doing 5-minute readings. So make sure that you have a question, a clear question, ready for us when you call in. It does help because we only have a certain amount of time. Well, I want to ask Maureen. Maureen, what did you think of this wonderful interview?
She's fantastic. She was very obviously knowledgeable and very straightforward and down to earth and exact. And I really identified with some of the things, a lot of things you were talking about, and even the fact, like I said, and she's, you know, you asked. I loved how you asked the questions about, you know, or she was talking about the newer, the younger people. And I always refer back to my daughter, of course, because I do really feel strongly that her generation, she's going to mentor the younger ones. She's 22. I really do think we're in for a really great change of blending it all together. And talking about the meditation, that's what my daughter's going to do for 7 months with the, you know, that's what her journey is about right now with her neuroscience you know, degree, and so she can start getting it out, like most people are now starting to open up. Science with the spirit, you know, with meditation, for instance, is exactly works the brain. And but in addition to that, I do want to bring, and so I really liked how that was addressed. I thought that was fantastic because that has a lot to do with mediumship as well. To, you know, maybe people may not think so, but I like that she went to some, you know, you asked, you were a great interviewer to tonight, Steve, by the way. And I like how, you know, that was brought up. I thought that was very important for the listeners. Also, I think I might, Steve, because you and I have been around for a while. You too and I have been around for a while doing these shows. But
we're old timers.
We're old timers. We're sometime, we're old timers. But, and I may have brought this up, but, you know, I never say anything about mediumship with what I'm well versed in. However, I do, you know, mental mediumship. It has a lot of different aspects, and a lot of it could be clairvoyance, you know, all that C stuff. I'm not going to go through them all, but it is like the relaying of the information through communication. So, or varied aspects of thought, like transference type of thing, or mental telepathy without using any of the five senses. So for me, mental mediumship, I have experienced that. And it's not that I want to. It's not that I've set out to do it, but when I have, boy, those readings have been the most outrageously wow for me anyway. And it's been an unbelievable experience. But I always, you know, Steve, I don't know if you remember, I have spoken about this, and it was always hard for me to explain, but it's almost like, because I'm a sleepwalker, but it's almost like I don't know why it occurs for some people, and I've gone into, it's almost like my conscious, you know, it takes place, the mental mediumship for me takes place within consciousness of myself, right? So my results are expressed verbally, but I'm really not awake. Do you follow me? How I'm... it's yes. Like, yeah, and it's so incredible, and I don't know why it just happens for some. I mean, it's not like someone I would say, that's why I don't ever say, listen, I'm a medium, whatever, but the ones that I have done readings for like that, I almost like pass out, like I'm talking, but there's been the one experience I had with that gentleman 20 years ago, and that was the first time I ever experienced this, and I was kind of like, you know, I was just starting my work, you know, and I was kind of freaked out about it, but I was swimming. I saw two children and two boys in the water, and it wasn't, and they were in distress, and they were like looking at me, and I was there with them, you know, like actually physically felt like I was anyway. And I didn't have fear, but I was like, what am I doing in the water with these two blonde haired boys that were young? And the person I was reading for, who kind of laughed at what I did for work, right? You know, this type of person. I said, I don't know. And I kept talking. He goes, what are you saying? And I go, I wouldn't remember. And he said, he says, you're talking about two boys, young boys. Well, his boys had drowned, both of them. And so apparently I was connecting somewhere along the line without me wanting to or even going that direction, or even ask about it. But it blew me away. This is an example. So a lot of people do have mental mediumship, I feel, happens a lot to people, or they experience it. They just don't know how to verbalize or classify it, I guess. Do you know?
Yes, and also mediumship can be very subtle and surreal. So
exactly.
We're all interacting with the astral plane and spirit constantly because that's where our souls reside.
Right. But Steve, you know, I did, before, I'm not going on forever, but one more thing. There was one thing I kind of thought a little bit differently, because it's only because I've had this experience. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but, you know, talking about if you're in a negative place and it's so much easier to be open to the negative people, you know, energies, right? It'll attract you. But I also have had an experience where if you're real strong, or even grounded in who you are, what you can do, or whatever, in your work. And I have found that I've been challenged by the negative ones. It's not because I'm negative or unhappy or miserable. I feel that, like I think I typed it in Skype, I feel that it doesn't matter. Even afterlife, there's some people with some false egos who think that they can just, you know, come in your face and do all that.
Exactly. You know, as Donna was saying, people don't just become angelic because they've transitioned to spirits.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you think Hitler's up there. All, yeah. or everyone, all all energies transition somehow.
Right.
I know that they reside in different parts of the spirit world, so they're not necessarily all in the same spot.
Right.
But yeah, there's good and bad.
They'll want to challenge the good too, is what I feel like, you know.
Yeah.
I just said, because I'm not saying that all the time, but it's because of what I've experienced. That's only where I'm coming from with this. It's not because I read about it, but it's like, that's where it makes sense. And that's where you really need to be. You need to know where you are, where you stand, and with what you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a great interview. Thanks, Steve. Very good.
Thank you, Maureen. Thanks for your input. Well, Stephen, let me ask you a different question. Can you tell us of your most challenging experience with spirit?
The most challenging experience with spirit. For some reason, I seem to be plagued by dreams of loved ones and friends that have passed. These are, you know, recurring dreams, and I get the sense that they're trying to pass a message to me of some sort, but I guess I'm too crude or too materialistic or too human. You know, I always get the sense that what they're saying is just out of reach, you see. And, you know, that's fairly disturbing. For me, at least.
You know. Well, have you explored mediumship?
The closest I've come, and try not to laugh, is through the auspices of a Ouija board, believe it or not. And I think it's not an experience that I would like to do again, and maybe because I was just too ignorant of it, but to have an unseen intelligence physically manipulating something, that was quite unsettling. And my partner in this, extremely trustworthy. I don't think you would be able to do something like the Ouija board unless you trusted that your partner is not moving the planchette. And this was the case for me. I trusted my partner. I knew for a fact that she was not moving the planchette, and I knew that I wasn't moving it. And once the messages started getting spelled out, specifics, it was just profoundly disturbing to me. It scared me quite a bit, but I was a lot younger then than I am now.
We have some lively debates about the Ouija board the show amongst the co-hosts, because we have some different views. I'm sure I know Maureen does use the Ouija board and has had many good experiences. That's right, isn't it, Maureen?
I also used it as a way of an experimenting. I never would use it with anybody else. It was just myself.
Okay.
So I would do it. So I kept a log for years, and that's why I was fascinated, because I read the Seth, you know, about some of the people that the guy that Jane Roberts talked about.
Yes.
Who wrote, yeah. And like I said, I do not dismiss people that have had bad experiences. It's not a great thing, and I could see why that could happen. And I would tell those people, don't get involved. It's like, you know, I like to jump out of airplanes. Why do people want to do that? They're scared of heights. I mean, just don't go near the Ouija board if they're fearful of it at any rate, really. Because it could bring on a lot. They don't, you know, it can open a lot of things.
But, well, I was kind of thrilled by it. I say it was profoundly disturbing, but for me, that was not a criticism at all, because I love horror movies so much, and this might sound terrible, but it was really frightening, but for me, that was par for the course. You know, and it wasn't like the entity was giving me frightening messages. It was just the thrill of verifying contact from the other side. You know.
Well, yeah, and now they can mess with you with that. Like, I took a very scientific approach, but we have an archive show about the Ouija board, and then we had the guy that is friends with the people, Parker, is the Parker brothers, yeah,
yes,
remember him? Yeah, we have that from. It was a great show. It was very well done, and so people would get scared, but it was good information for anybody that whatever. But Steve, you just keep don't play that board. You have enough fun time going on outside.
Good point.
I'll have to send you all a picture of the apport.
That would be awesome,
especially when it's wrapped.
That was a facet of the interview that also really fascinated me. All this discussion about the apports, you know, I just,
yes.
You know, when Donna started talking about how the spirit would just sort of suck out colors from one area to apply it to another. I mean,
yeah.
that was just really, really fascinating. Fascinating.
It is
stuff.
Interesting. It is. Well, thank you. Well, Carmen,
sure.
Have you experienced a seance or physical mediumship yourself?
Hi, no. And I must say, I think that's just my, unfortunately, as an Aquarian, sometimes I miss these things. I'm sure I have. And I know that sounds kind of odd, but what I have noted are, you know, dreams prior to my friends passing, their messages, and post-passing. But I'm actually not sure as to whether it's ESP, like to really tell you the truth, whether it's ESP or mediumship. I've often sort of shied away from that in my work because I'm getting a lot of messages through my cards, and sometimes it's information, pure information, and I just don't know. I mean, I probably have, but I would say that I'm not really, I've never been very good at meditating. I'm far too busy in my mind, or you know, and I also have a deep Pisces emotional moon, which means that I can get very distracted, right? One extreme to another. But I've noticed poltergeist activity many, many times, and I would feel like there was probably a phase in my life that maybe around the next. There's going to be another show coming up, Steve. It's going to be about somebody that has done also a different form of mediumship. But I can probably relate to experiences in my sleep, you know, being taunted astrally by negative apparitions. When I was younger, when I was coming into my, you know, third eye spiritual self, very frightening, isn't it?
It can be, yes. There was a lot of poltergeist activity in my parents' home when I was a kid. And at times it was frightening. We lived in, well, my parents still live near this place. In fact, my father lives right on the top of the hill. But it was a place called Bryn y Bawl in Welsh, which is Hill of the Ghosts in English.
That's
and actually, our house was built on a burial ground. So we had all kinds of experiences there, and some of them were troubling, you know. When my parents moved away from that house, I was quite pleased.
There were no hitchhikers that came along with your family. That's the word. Keep the hitchhikers away. They want to come along with you.
actually, my mom has a tendency. My mom's very mediumistic, but she refuses to acknowledge it. And she has a tendency to drag certain things around with her without
hitchhikers.
Really, without realizing
hitchhikers.
It.
Yeah. And spiritual? What kind of ground? You know, you said it was built on a. Was it some honored, honorable ground, like, you know, the over around here? I don't know, Steve. Like, were they? We have Indian ground.
It was just a burial ground.
It was
a very old burial ground. And
okay.
It was rezoned for property, and homes were built.
People should not, after that poltergeist movie, I don't know which movie it was. People should not be doing that stuff. Really?
Come on. And I remember asking my mom to check the deeds of the property, and she would never tell me about it. And then when I was older, she said, yes, the house is built on a burial ground. Nice move.
Yeah.
Literally, pardon the pun.
Goodness, yeah, no, I would rather be haunted by dinosaurs, right, than by angry people. I think it's very interesting. I just think I've shied away from it in my work because as an empath, you see, it's not that I don't believe in it. It's just that as an empath, I take on so much of my client's emotional self that it will confuse the reading, and I'll more than likely just find the process of mediumship. Not to say that anybody wouldn't not be empathic, but just for me particularly, because I tune into empathy so and I strongly, that I find it's just so upsetting. It's so upsetting talking to the other side. I really admire you guys when you can do that, because it's such an intensive subject.
Well, thank you, Carmen. And actually, we have a caller, Carmen, from Pennsylvania for you. You're the first person to read, so you have a caller from Pennsylvania. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi there. We're just going to wait for you to connect.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Well, good to hear from you. What's your name?
I'm Penny.
Oh, okay, hi. Yes. Oh, hi. What can I do for you tonight, Penny?
I had a couple of... I was not sleeping. Last night, I had a couple of very vivid images, almost like it was like flashcards, right? I mean, like snap my head flashcard right in front of my eyes of a man that I had dated. And then all of a sudden on the radio, here comes a couple of songs that were very well that we would sing to and stuff. It was just very, I've never had that happen.
Sounds like you're tripping into a time continuum, that you're becoming aware of something in your sleep. You know, I wonder if, in a sense, you switch into an overdrive or into a different type of a gear system or something when you sleep. You become probably hyper attenuated to the process of time, and when time becomes infinitely slow, maybe you're actually able to pick up, you know, time snapshots from the very minute that you're dreaming. I know that it's just fascinating. Were you in a dream state or
No, the first one started was I was on my way home.
Oh, really?
I was probably about last night about this time. It was very vivid, an image of him right in front of my face. You know, and then last night, just before I had just gone into bed, and another one just right there.
Now, what is the relationship to this man to you? Is he quite a strong partner or best friend or just for interest in telepathy's sake?
We had dated very shortly, very briefly for a couple months. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard or any, it's probably been 6 months or longer since.
So we have no
contact or anything.
Yeah. And I always maintain that you don't lose contact. Like, that's the ingenuity, I guess, of locking into a human relationship. You're pretty much in there forever. You're in for good. And were you guys connected through work or through... How did you guys meet?
We actually met at a restaurant I stopped at after school. I done very well on a test, extremely well on the test, and I stopped to celebrate and got myself a drink, and they had just moved into town, and they came over and started talking, and we all became friends. And then we just
Do you want me to
like,
look into him for you?
I'm sorry?
What's his name? Do you want me to look into the situation?
Steve.
Yeah. Let's see. So are you Nancy's and his name is Steve?
Or yes.
Okay, one moment. So let's see. It does say here, absolute suspension. But it's like you're getting 2 sevens in a row, which is to say that energy pretty much is going into, the way this comes in here is a very even energy. It says here, he's sort of used to a little bit of a period of rest right now. And he seems to feel like things are fair where they're at. Now, that's to say that he doesn't miss you. He may have actually come to a point of understanding your problem. And so I want to say that in a way, you need to reconnect. You need to make touch, you know, get in touch. And you probably need to sort of refresh the memory, because I think what he's stuck on is a memory from like 3 months ago. And you probably are picking up impressions of him thinking about you, though it can be quite vivid. Yet the problem is that still there's nothing, I mean, are you planning on doing anything about it? That would be one of the questions. I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but I want to make sure that I have this idea, like, pretty much rounded out for you, because it's like, I believe he's sorry, but I also believe that he sort of accepted that part of what he has done is part of his fate allotment right now, his karma, and it's clear now. An analytical man, he would like to see how you are, see how you're coping, maybe even sort of pick it up, maybe for a casual stance, probably just to investigate. And so it's not completely out of the running. But that says here there was a small miscommunication or error. And he said, you backed out. And it's not a, and you know what, when I do these readings, it's definitely not like an accusation. It's probably just his perception of you backing out because he's maybe insecure. And then it does say here maybe something about, depending on what you were studying, he says he seems to understand that. So, how did you guys break up? And I just want to just finish this reading for you and just get your final question. How did you guys break up? Did you lose touch?
He was going for a bike ride one weekend, and he asked me, I don't know if it was on a Wednesday or Thursday, he says, well, why don't you go with me this weekend on the bike ride? I said, I can't. I have to work. I can't just take off time, you know. And I never heard from him again.
Okay, let's see how that comes up here in your reading. Because now that we've got like this just utter, that's interesting because you have here in your reading kind of like the seven, you know, the sevens, which are the way they're coming in here with the Seven of Swords is circular. You're getting a lot of coins in your reading, which could be probably the bike. But I would feel like he's open to talking to you, Penny. And he just isn't going to necessarily call. And I don't want to leave this sounding so terrible, but we have a, I hear somebody else is trying to get through for our next caller right. Is coming in. But let's say that you were right. You picked this up. There's not much you can do about it right now, but just continue to be perceptive. And, you know, I hope that you bump into him soon. I really do. He's very good. It's very good you're picking this up.
I know. I don't know if I really, I guess that's why I was calling, because I was like, why is this coming up? You know, this was like, it was a closed chapter. You know, you don't have it, you know.
Oh, okay. For sure. That's like theory in a way. And I want to say that in a way, what I'm getting here is probably, and I have to bring it on to the next caller, but let me bet you he thought of you. Let me bet you that you actually picked it up instantaneously, a picture. And that it may just mean that you were like on the right slipstream at that moment. Now, he did think of you, but it may not have the greatest significance. Not as much as you think. So you know what? You must call me. Carmen is my name. I mean, not as much significance as you perceived it as. But do call me as Carmen. And please, okay. Let's look at that properly. So I can do like a, now that I have your background, an in-depth reading. Okay? Like, it will help.
Alrighty.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you, Carmen. Okay, we have a caller for you, Stephen, from South Carolina.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, who am I speaking with in South Carolina?
Hello?
Hi. May I have your name,
please?
Oh, hey,
how are you?
I'm fine.
My name's Tiana.
Tiana, very nice to meet you.
Yes,
thank you for
sir.
Calling. How may I help you this evening?
All right, well, I guess since I'm on, I guess I wanted to, I just wanted to find out about financial outlook, future, love,
okay.
And all that good stuff.
All right, well, let's see what your finances are going to be like over the next 6 months, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, let me pick up on your financial picture for the next 6 months. From now, actually, from now until right around the Christmas season, things should be picking up for you financially, to tell you the truth. Quite frankly, you're on the verge of a financial transformation. You're on the verge of great financial change. Now, this could come about as a result of a change in your attitude, a change in your perspective, but this is going to hit right around the time of the new year. We're talking January to February. This could also be a change in work status, believe it or not, but it's going to impact your finances definitely much for the better. Although from your perspective, it might feel a little uncomfortable because I definitely see you cutting back on fun things as we get into the spring of 2014. As if, from what I'm getting here, it's almost as if you're going to be budgeting. Do you see what I mean?
Budgeting, yeah.
As if you're going to be budgeting even. I don't see much in the way of fun I don't see much in the way of disposable income as we get into the beginning of 2014. However, I do see, and this is right around January, December-ish, I definitely see that there's a major transformation in your finances, and I'm pretty sure that's going to impact your career somehow, such that you'll get more money. Or it could be, you'll get another expense, and this could be why we have the budgeting in February and March or January. You know, what I'm picking up on most clearly of all is a radical change. I'm inclined to think it's going to be much for the better, though, despite the fact that you will be budgeting.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yes, ma'am. It's not a bad picture at all, Tiana. Seriously,
that's good to know. And you said radical change, so could be something unexpected as well.
I'm inclined to think that you're going to see this coming, quite frankly, and these words will probably mean more to you as we get closer to the Christmas season. I don't expect this to be such a sudden and unexpected type of change. I do believe, like I said, I believe you'll see it coming. I believe you'll see the writing on the wall, and we'll have time to prepare for it. And again, I'm inclined to interpret this as a boon, a good thing for you. That something that will leave you with a sort of a springtime sense of renewal as far as your finances are concerned. And it could be. It could be that the sense of budgeting that I picked up on might actually be the emergence of a new cycle of spending. Do you see what I'm seeing? What I'm seeing specifically is that there'll be very little fun, very little art, music, and drama. Now, this could mean also that the fun is just starting back, and that's why the energies are so weak. Do you see?
Okay. Do you think it has something to do with the Ace of Cups?
With the who?
Ace of Cups.
Now, actually, what I'm looking at here is the number 6 in the fire element. And what that has to do in my deck, it pertains to the things of Venus, you know, going out on dates, going out, spending on food and the things that Venus likes, clothes. You know, I see that sort of behavior either coming to a close or actually just starting. So you know your situation much better than any psychic. So if you've been having to scrimp and save, then this will actually be the beginning of having fun. But, and you know if this is true or not, if you've been spending irresponsibly, then this is going to be the beginning period of more responsible financial behavior and denying yourself. So it all depends on what your financial spending patterns are now for me to determine whether the spending patterns are going to be increasing or becoming more conservative. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. So, like I said, you know what your financial behaviors are right now better than I do. If you're scrimping and saving, then I'm going to interpret this as in early spring, you start to have some fun a little bit. If you're spending irresponsibly, then in early spring, it's going to be the reverse. You're going to start saving more. Either way, it's going to be a boon for your finances. Okay, Tiana?
All right, that sounds good. So, I know saving, planning, wedding, all that good stuff is probably what it'll lead into for the most part.
Oh, yeah, right. That might be the big change I was thinking of. But overall, this is going to be a fairly strong financial picture for you, okay?
Okay. It's coming sooner than I thought. That's great.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad I could give you some good news. I hope you'll call us up at psychicaccess.com one of these days.
I will. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Have a wonderful night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. And just a reminder to our callers, just one direct question when you do get through, please, because we want to get straight to your question, and it is just one each. And now the next caller is for Maureen, and this is a caller from New Jersey.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, New Jersey. Yahoo. Hello.
Hi. I have one quick question, pretty much, and it's actually an interesting situation.
Okay, so can I get your name? I'm sorry, I just want to know your name.
My name is Anand, A-N-A-N-D.
Thank you, Anand. Okay, I'm ready.
So I've had a crush on this girl for, 2 years. I've never actually spoken to her or met her, but I've just been kind of, cognizant of her on Facebook. And about last weekend, I sent a Facebook message to her, and I know that she saw it, but I was wondering if she was going to send a response, because she hasn't yet.
Oh, got it. Great. Perfect example. Direct question. Thank you. Okay, yeah, I knew that you could see when someone has read a message. I understand what you're saying. And, okay, got it. All right, this is what I'm getting. You know, you it's for a fact you saw that she read it, but you know, I'm seeing her going through a rough time, and I don't feel it's just the timing. I feel that she's having a hard time with some personal, very internalizing issue that would take her away from, I guess, being open, to take her away from other activities, like perhaps getting back to you. And I don't, I don't know how much you know about her or just, you know, her, maybe perhaps not very much, but it just looks like she's having a rough time. She's grieving. There's something going on in her personal life. And I'm not saying it's because it's with a boyfriend or anything, but there's some loss of feeling. I do feel that you'll hear from her, but it may not be as, this is what I'm getting. I could be off, but what I'm feeling is this, it may be within the next 10 days. So it may be within a 10-day period, but I'm encouraging you. I don't want to tell you what to do. I'm encouraging you not to look perhaps at this as being a personal directed towards you, like she's not interested in wanting to converse with you or, you know, connect or interact with you. What I'm seeing is there's something really painful that she's experiencing. And it's a private, you know, situation. Do you know her very well to know anything about anything, if this is going on in her life at all?
Oh, I know she's had previous, I know she's had, other guys who've been, she's never, really been in a very strong relationship, so she must be having some trust issues with other, when it comes to guys.
Okay, I see a really good let me put it this way, not so much of an outcome, I see a really great opportunity coming up for you too. It's not so bad, a bad experience with other guys, probably, you know what, it looks like she's been in a just painful situations and picking the wrong people, and that happens to a lot of us, bless her heart. But you look, it's okay. She's well, you know, I like her, and it may be difficult to be connecting with her, as you may want to be aware of that. But I feel that I do see a lot of great things, an opportunity, unless you're thinking about somebody else, not her. I don't see anybody else, but this is somebody that you're really directing towards, nobody else. It's not like her and somebody else, right?
No, I'm only thinking about her. There's nobody else.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I don't see any. I do see some very positive, positive opportunity coming your way, really, with her. I'd be a little, I'm just saying this. I'm encouraging you to be patient with her. She's worth it. She's been through a lot of hell. Sorry, everybody, hell, okay. But with some pretty profound unhealthy situations, not just kind of regular, not very good. It's just pretty intense. But it looks like she's going to be, it looks like she's really, she's coming back to life, basically, metaphorically speaking. And it looks very positive. And I feel good about you too. Really do. And I feel that you'll be able to handle her insecurities a bit, but I feel later on she'd help you with yours. I do feel this to be a very good opportunity for maybe a long-term relationship.
And you said that she'd get back within 10 days or so, in that time frame?
I said within, and I could be wrong, within 10 days, but like I said, it's not because she doesn't want to. She's feeling very, I see her, not sleeping. She's depressed. She's a bit upset or reflecting. It's not because someone's involved with her. Something from the, things get to you, people when they're, she feels unworthy, whatever. It's just a timing thing, that's all. That's why I'm saying just try to, if you can she's worth it. Be patient with her. She's worth it.
Did I message at a wrong time or
no,
is there anything
you're
I
fine.
Could have
seen? No, you didn't. It's just the way it is at the time and you did. No, it's good that you did that. And if you don't hear from her, check back with her again. No, I don't feel it's about you doing it. It's not directed at you. She's going through something internally on her own. No, you didn't do anything at the wrong time. It's just the timing, that's all. I see really great things ahead. I really do. If you can have patience. I feel it's a win-win situation. You wouldn't be disappointed. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, and I wish you well. And I really do see really wonderful opportunity, really warm things coming. Okay? Well, thank you for calling. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Great reading, Maureen. Thank you. Well, I'm going to take the next call, and this is a call from California. Who's calling? California, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi there. What's your name?
Tureen.
Tureen, how can I help?
Yeah, I wanted to find out about a situation, my love life. I was seeing a guy, and all of a sudden, he decided he got upset. He don't want to see me anymore. And I was wondering if there's anything that'll be turning for me and him. If he'll be, what's blocking him? What happened? If there's, if he'll be contacting me again that wants to go out, or you know, just want to find out about us.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at the cards for you, and I can see in the recent past this situation, because I've got the Lover's card reversed and I've got the Wish card reversed, so I can see that it didn't work out. In honesty, intuitively and using the cards, I don't feel that he's the one for you. I don't feel that he has what you're looking for, to be quite honest. And I feel that he's somebody that really is lacking in sensitivity. And even if you just consider it logically, is it a good idea for you to become involved again with somebody that turned away in that manner? You know, you were interested and it seemed to be going okay, and he just changed his tune. I don't feel that you did anything wrong. I just don't feel that he's the right one. So it's always down to you, but I don't feel that you will pursue the connection with him. I do feel that there are good opportunities for you. When I look out to the future, I sense that there are good opportunities, but also we've got the World card, and the World card is ruled by the sun, and the sun is the warmth and flourishing energy of the sun. So it always indicates that there are good opportunities. We use the term "the world is your oyster." I'm not sure why we refer to oyster. I need to look at that and try and research where the statement comes from. But the world is your oyster. You've got plenty of opportunity. You're a very down to earth and smart girl, and I feel that you need to move forward. I do feel that you will be with somebody else. I feel that it occurs within the next 6 months. I feel that the guy you meet is younger than this guy you were seeing previously. Not dramatically younger, but I feel that he's younger. And I also feel that he's younger than you, a little younger than you. And in terms of his character, I feel he's more sensitive, more outgoing, more passionate. And I see that pretty clearly. And the cards confirm that for me. You just got to stay balanced, keep things in perspective. You know, we don't have to be in a relationship right now. We're fine as we are. And we want to be in a relationship or a romance that's good for us and that feels good. So I feel like you need to wait for now. I feel as though you need to put that other experience behind you and be clear what you're looking for in future. And as I said, in 6 months, you meet quite a creative or artistic and certainly sensitive guy who is younger. Okay?
Now, why is this guy, does it show what's blocking him, why he's, what happened, or...
I don't feel that you've done anything wrong, as I said before. I just don't feel that the time was right, and I don't feel that the connection was right. I don't feel that he is somebody that at this point in his life is going to settle into a relationship and that can give you what you're looking for. So I just feel like you need to draw a line under it and move forward.
And the guy that's younger, is it somebody I know or somebody that maybe I went out with or just somebody new?
Let's see. No, I feel it's somebody new. I feel it's somebody new. I don't see somebody from the past. Okay. This is somebody that you haven't yet met, but that you will meet in the next 6 months. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. Take care now.
Bye.
Okay. Let's see. Carmen, you have a caller now from Georgia.
Okay, hi. Hi. Thanks, Steve. Hello, person from the state of Georgia.
It's me. Yeah, I'm from Carlton, Georgia.
Hello, how are you? What's your name?
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Hello?
Hi, I have a slight lag with you, so I'm going to slow down. What is your name and your question, please? One question, please.
My name is Monique. My question is on my love life of when would I meet somebody new, or somebody in my past, and what should I look for in my new relationship?
Okay. Let's have a look and see what comes in as an influence for you. Let's see. There's actually somebody that is either waiting to talk to you or that you're waiting to hear from. But I would say that that seems to be, at this point, at a stalemate, because it may be that he's too shy. And this is actually could be describing this person that's coming into your life, a very shy individual. And he's coming in here with the Seven of Wands, Ace of Cups combination, which is valor and good intent, spiritual love. So there's the right energy that comes in right away in the first just few cards in your reading, which is great. Now, it says here, this is after a change for you at work.
How would it happen unexpectedly, or I don't know.
Are you changing? Are you looking for a change in job?
Well, I'm not working right now, so.
Okay. So that's exactly what this is saying. It's like, so you're going to get that job, and then it says, after that change, that's when you're going to meet that person. Let me try and get the timing for you on this. Let me see. Well, I have to say, I think you're looking at around 10 weeks here. But I would have to say that, and then it says here, that's the first man. That's to say you've got other interested parties. That's not a bad thing. The point is that someone worthwhile, that comes in next year, next October. So that's, I know that sounds like it's far off, but I usually find when you do meet that perfect Ace of Cups combination partner that if he comes later, then that's probably coming in at the right time for you. And it says here there's a move for you as well.
Next year, October.
October, yeah. Now, this says, well, after you've found a job. So it's like you, I believe you actually might go on a trip too. So you're going to be going on a trip, you're going to be getting a job, and then after that move. So it's a very unusual year that you've coming up for you. Then that's why you meet someone much later in the year. So let's say this time next year, it's all going to be good again. And in the meantime, you have a guy that's pushing on you. There's a guy that's interested in you. He could be near you or watching you or something. I mean, just like a neighbor or something. So, you know, it's not like for lack of interest, but it seems to say that he's not going to make himself known.
You say what now?
No, not now.
What you say now?
This man that you know that is watching you is not going to show himself, make himself obvious. That the next man you're going to meet is in 10 weeks. And then again, this time next year, you're settled into a much more firm foundation or commitment. And he is a nice energy with an Ace of Cups, which is, you know, of a good intent, pure heart, not out to use.
So I'm optimistic
that this looks better for you next year, though things speed up again in 10 weeks. And then from there, it rolls into a commitment. But now I have to say goodbye because I think we've got another caller coming up. But, Monique, please try and call me if you need to. We also have an offer on our site. And my name is Carmen. And actually, I want to tell you, it's actually good news. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Take care. Bye.
Great. Thank you, Carmen. Well, the next caller is from Illinois for Stephen.
Thank you, Steve. Good evening. Who am I speaking with in Illinois?
Hi, Stephen. This is Sophia. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you very much for calling, Sophia. How may I help you?
Yes, I want to know, what do the cards say for me about a strong, healthy relationship, loving relationship, sooner than later? Because I'm very open and I'm ready for it.
Okay, well. Yes,
someone
ma'am.
That's
going to
be compatible with me that we can just jail.
Oh, well, I've got good news for you. That's definitely on the horizon. And we're talking a matter of months here, Sophia. Definitely a matter of a few months.
I want to say sooner than later.
Yes, ma'am. It's not going to be long at all. In fact, I'm thinking that the gentleman is either in your vicinity already or you'll be coming across him soon. I'm looking at one particular card here, the Two of Cups. This card refers to the labor of love. It's a very positive card. When a client asks you about a romantic matter, this is the sort of card that you're hoping to see for that client. You see what I'm saying, Sophia?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
It's low number 2 represents the very beginning of emotions. And I'm actually getting a picture of the gentleman himself, quite frankly.
Oh, what does he look like?
Well, I see him as being very scorpionic. He'll probably be about middle height. He might be a little bit on the thick side. But mainly what I'm picking up on here is his temperament. This is going to be a very emotionally intense man, do you see? Very emotionally intense man. He's going to have intense likes and dislikes. So whatever it is that he likes, he's going to be all into it. What he doesn't like, you'll definitely know about it. Do you see what I mean? He's a very emotional type of person, very sort of a natural healer even. And for that reason, I'm inclined to think... Ma'am?
I hope he gets into the relationship.
His emotional intensity practically guarantees it, Sophia.
Oh, okay.
You see what I mean? This man is not going to be one to tread lightly here in matters of the heart. This isn't going to be a casual, childish, frivolous type of relationship. He's going to have the emotional intensity that you're looking for. And I see great success with this relationship. Furthermore, I see it happening here within a matter of weeks or months. Short-term future.
A matter of weeks?
Or months. A short-term future. Certainly no more than 6 months. But I'm inclined to think it'll happen sooner
than
that.
Where will I meet him?
Ma'am?
Where am I going
to
meet him?
You could meet him while traveling from your home, for example. The reason I say that is because of Trump 7, which is the chariot. You know, that's a card that is very much associated with travel. Or that card could be denoting the fact that you guys will travel together. He could be in your work environment, or it could be someone that you come across in a professional relationship. You know, a service person or someone who deals with you, like a physician or a nurse or a cashier or somebody like that, a locksmith, and you know, anything like that. I'm not prepared to say that you actually know the guy. I'm inclined to think that he's going to be a new addition into your life.
Oh, I don't know him. He's just
going to
come up to me.
Y'all's paths are going to cross. It's going to feel natural. And it's not going to be anything that you have to really struggle with. Y'all's paths are going to cross.
Oh, okay. And it's going to be sooner than later, huh?
Sooner than later. 6 months at the latest. You're not going to have to wait very long for this, Sophia. You're in for a treat.
Oh, I'm ready for this treat. I need a treat.
Yes, ma'am. Boy, it's coming your way, Sophia, okay?
All right, then. Well, I'll look out for him. And then I'll call and let you know. What's your name, Stephen?
Yes, ma'am. Call me up on Psychic Access and let me know. I'm curious to know how this
turns
out for you,
okay? Within
10 weeks. Yeah, well, it's 6 months at the most. It could be a matter of weeks, though. It wouldn't surprise me at all if it was on the shorter side of things. But I don't want to get your hopes up about that, okay?
Oh, no, I'm not getting my hopes up.
But it's going to happen, I can assure you of that.
We just need out in the horizon, just in the open.
Oh, it's right there. It's on its way. Okay, so it's only a matter of months or weeks. Short term future, Sophia. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Well, thank you for calling. I hope you have a nice night.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye bye.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen. Yes, reading for you now, Maureen. Go ahead.
Hi, Virginia. I think Virginia. Hello, in Virginia, person. How are you?
Hi, Maureen. This is Dee. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Thank you, Dee. I'm fine. Thank you. Nice to hear your voice. Thank you for coming always to the show. And what can I focus on for you?
My question is, I've been out of work. I've had a few interviews, and I had one today and one yesterday and one next week. And what do you see manifested as far as me finding a job?
Oh, well, you know, everybody listen up. Anybody that calls up says, oh, do you see me getting a job, but I haven't applied myself anywhere? Well, this woman is not like that. It's really nice to hear you really, I mean, it really sounds like you're making things happen. So, I mean, I kind of lost you. It does feel like in the past, it felt like you didn't really get what you had desired, the most desirable, like as maybe you had high hopes. I feel that there is something coming up here. It does feel like more of a partnership type of a opportunity, and that makes any sense. I don't, you know, Dee, of course, I don't know if you're going after a certain area or what the case may be, but there is something that's very, it looks like to me, I'm seeing a smaller type of environment, not a very large, if that makes any, I hope that makes some sense to you at all. And I also feel that, I also feel it's a more conventional type of working environment, and more of a traditional type of atmosphere, and also perhaps the type of company it is or what product, whatever it may be. I do get that it feels like it may not be the best one that you would see, that they would be offering you what you would want, but I feel later on it would be, I see you getting a lot of learning experience from this, so it's even more valuable than anything. Dee, is this something you're just looking for, any type of job? I'm going to have to ask you this. Are you looking for something that really you want to make sure you connect with and are happy to go to?
Well, yes. I'm looking for something that, you know, I've been asking the universe to send me something.
Great.
That I can connect with. However, the way the market is, I'm getting a lot of calls based on what I've been doing for the past 8 years. So, of course, I'm not turning that down because I need to work. So,
no, I understand that, but I like how, okay, so this makes sense, because what I'm seeing is, so you've asked the universe. That's why I'm seeing something of like a feeling like a partnership forming. And it could be, it's a newer company. It may not be one, though, that would pay, like I said, I don't see a lot of being able to have a lot of, because they're maybe not at the point yet, but it's like almost like this is it. I'm seeing you being involved in an ordinary opportunity, it may seem, but it will be great. It's like that, it can't get any better, but you know, you live on blind faith. I could be telling you this, but it does feel like you would be getting acknowledged, and I see you getting more insider knowledge, some like not maybe conventional student, but I see you as a student getting so much information, and it will come to you so easy, and it's exciting. It's that feeling that you would have when you're younger, you know, trying to get, you know, when you're going and learning about the world, whatever, academically. But it's that will be the best part of this. And I do feel this would be something that you would actually be able to be offered an opportunity to be more than just, yeah, it's almost like I see you being part of it. More of a bigger,
but you're saying
thing
like part of like a company? Is that what you're picking up,
yeah,
on, Maureen?
We
like
have
a partnership within a company?
Vested interest in it as time goes on. Not right now, because it's newer. You know, it looks like some company that's going to be up and coming. It might be a very interesting company, but it looks fantastic. Because, you know, I do see this would be within the next, you know, I feel like the sixth time, something about six. I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever. five or six days, or the fifth time someone wants to talk to you. I don't know. That it's because there's so many, but it's a newer feeling of a company. They don't have a lot of, but it's going to be a very good opportunity. And it will do you, it will be great for your thriving.
So I have an interview with them as of yet, though. That's what you're saying. I'm just trying to follow.
No, that's not true. I feel that you may have interviewed, but not really cared much about it, perhaps, or thought much about it, them. They're not. they're newer. I just feel they're newer. You know what I mean? Newer. They haven't been like, you know, do you follow me on that? You know, they haven't been around as.
Okay. So they haven't been around as much.
Exactly.
Startup company, so to speak.
Exactly. But like I said, this is one of those things I feel is an ordinary opportunity that will be great, which, you know, how many people, Steve Jobs, you know, you could take anybody out there that's been, and it won't take forever to get there, and you'll be a part of it. I see you have invested. It's a very good opportunity. You won't be, I just see you being a really good opportunity. And,
so you're
and it's
saying
deserving because things
number
have not
five
worked
and
out
six,
for you before.
Whatever
I see
that is, right?
DLCC, a short trip too, a short trip coming up. That I see them giving you a lot of good paying for a lot of good knowledge for you to really know exactly what this is like. I see passion in it. I do.
Okay, you said you see the number five and six.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
That is. Okay, and it looks really great. Just, you know, be aware. Then
I will. Thank you, Maureen.
Okay, thank you, Dee, so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Great reading. Well, I'm going to take the next caller, but I want to let them know, people waiting on the line, that they can hold on. We will take their calls. But the next reading is for Washington State. Who's calling from Washington State?
Hi, this is Cynthia. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Cynthia. You're very welcome. How can we help?
Well, I just have a short question. I'm trying to determine whether I should go to California on a kind of a retreat at the end of November, and I'm kind of on the fence. I know it will take money to go, and I'm not sure if it's going to be worth, you know, the value. Will I get the value as far as the richness in this retreat if I go down to California?
Cynthia, my answer to your question is that there's something closer to home. I don't feel that you need to go as far as California. I feel as though there's a great solution for you nearer to home, and I feel like you need to do more research about different options and opportunities available for you, because I do feel that there's a better solution than that program in California. I feel that, I know you've had a tough time recently, and you of all people really need some time just to have some space really and reflect. But I don't feel that that's the program. I do feel as though it's going to be quite a lot of expense. And I really want you to have an experience that enables you to come back feeling really wonderful about it and feeling that you really have used your money wisely. So the answer, short answer, is look for other options. I feel there's something far closer to home. I'm actually drawn to Oregon. You know, there's a huge amount going on in Portland from a spiritual perspective. So have a look, because there's a better solution.
Okay. I'll look and see what's closer by then.
Good. And wish you lots of luck. Thank you for calling us, Cynthia.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. You take care. Okay. The
bye-bye.
Next call is for Carmen from Maryland.
Hi there, it's Carmen speaking. Hello, nice to meet you. We have our last caller, and this person is from Maryland. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hi, my name's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, hi, good to meet you. What can I do for you? Just give me your question, and I'll try and answer for you.
I'm sorry, I was just caught off guard. I'm wondering how things going to work out between Darrell and I, and if so, when?
Oh, when you're going to hear from him? Right? I'm sorry, we're just having an audio problem, so I'm just going to look here at when you want to hear from him? Or get together with
him? Yeah, if things are going to work out between us.
Oh, okay. So let's have a look here. Just clear your energy. I see that you're doing that here. He's made his decision. He may take a step back. It depends on where you're at in your relationship. If you were just sort of this inception point of your relationship, I would feel like a step back could be a character-driven problem.
if this were deeper into your relationship, then it could be due to a crisis. But were you involved before?
Yes, it's been about 16 months now.
So this is probably more deeply rooted, and what it seems to say here is that he's trying not to listen to his friends, and I'm not sure if this makes any sense, but he's got a group of people around him, and that does affect, apparently, his decision. And there's a lot that comes up between you, even professionally, and a lot of people that may interfere. And that means, in the simplified version of, does it work out? Well, there's a way to get there. I'm seeing the intermediate future. I see some of the problems which are continuing. And it says here, he's going to try, albeit weakly, he will probably try. And it says here, even though he may take moments out to sulk or to not communicate, you're always on his mind. And for the most part, it was a successful partnership. Yet he buried himself in the problem. Now there's too many people involved. And he may make some overture at some point, but it may seem too late. It may already seem too late now, but he does make another attempt.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, just with my readings, and my name is Carmen, if you want to find me online. It's Carmen Miro on here on Psychic Access. What I'm looking at is an incredibly complicated situation. I might only be seeing the next few weeks, to tell you the truth.
You know?
So be open to that. Like, at least there's a lot of change.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Which is like a dynamic relationship. I always expect that those work out kind of interestingly. Okay?
Okay, but thank you. You just confirmed everything I was thinking.
Really, Kelly? Okay, great. Okay, well, that's good. And that's great. Have a great evening. Hopefully that was good news. And take
care.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Carmen. Well, great readings. And that brings us to the end of another great show. I want to thank Doug for his work behind the scenes, keeping us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-hosts. Stephen, can you tell us a little bit about the plan for next week?
Sure. We will have Amber Jayanti, who actually teaches tarot. She's an expert tarot reader, and she's a Kabbalist. She practices and studies the Holy Kabbalah. And next week's show is titled The Timeless Tarot, and we're going to teach you how to incorporate some Kabbalah practice into reading tarot cards and how to get a better result and more precise result out of tarot readings by doing that.
Sounds good. Sounds very good. We're all interested in tarot, so that will be a great show. Thank you, Stephen. Well, I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us. And if you're listening to the archive through iTunes or through the Psychic Access Talk Radio website, thank you for listening as well. We're here every week, Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. So do join us and bring your friends along. We have the chat room as well, so you can interact with the co-hosts. So thank you. And thank you to Donna Fitzgerald for joining us as well. I want to wish everybody that's listening a wonderful weekend, and over to my co-hosts to say their goodbyes.
Goodbye.
Have a great week.
Adios.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.